Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, fam?
I know what's going on.
Happy Tuesday.
Well, what's going on with me? Yes, happy Tuesday. Nice to see everybody again.
Yeah. Is Daddy on the line?
Oh, there he goes. I was just saying, I am. There he goes.
Hey, Daddy.
There he goes.
Yep. It's all here. How's it going, fam?
Lovely. Wonderful. Oh, Jada, I haven't seen you in so long.
It's been all but an hour and a half. That's a long time.
Oh, man. Right, the joys of living close by.
Yep. Something else.
That's funny.
Well,
something else.
A lot of interesting things going on. A lot of interesting things going on. But I think, you know, anybody that follows us on Instagram knows why this week is called No Cap All Karma. And when Candace said that, I was like, wow, that is really like a really really good play on words. So Candace, you want to explain where you got the concept from? Because I think it's amazing, and I'm not taking any of the credit for it because I think it's awesome. So you go ahead and do what you do.
Well, I mean, you know, you came up with the topic of, you know, speaking about the Super Bowl and, you know, how the winning team wasn't, you know, the team that didn't back Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, it's just getting back to karma, you know, considering everything that's gone on and the fact that if they had him on the team, they probably would have won.
Right.
And just to play on the cap word, you know, cap for Colin Kaepernick and also cap, you know, how like people say, oh, I'm not capping, meaning
no cap.
You're not lying. So,
lie.
No cap meme, no lie. All karma.
That was great. We started having the conversation because there were memes going around that said, you know, a lot of people know it from The Color Purple. I think it was The Color Purple, right? How did it go? Until you do right by me. So that's where the original idea came from, and it kind of blossomed into that conversation. So the Super Bowl was multi-dimensional. I have not watched football in years. I have been supporting Colin Kaepernick. I've gotten into arguments with people, black, white, in between, about the discussion about Colin Kaepernick. I've gotten into heavy conversations and learned a lot about a lot of people because of what was going on with Colin Kaepernick. This is the first year in a very long time that I decided I watched the Super Bowl from the pre-show until the very last second of it. And the actual reason why I watched it is because they had the 49ers had the first woman coach that was went to the Super Bowl. So I wanted to support that. And I also wanted, because I trust Jay-Z. I don't know him, but I have faith in what he's trying to do. So that's another conversation that we're going to have in regards to Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Blue Ivy. That's a conversation that we're going to go into. But I chose to watch the Super Bowl because I trust Jay-Z, and also because they had the first woman coach in 2020, which is amazing, but it is football, to coach a Super Bowl team and to take a team to the Super Bowl and to coach them. So those are the two reasons why I watched it this year. It was a very entertaining game. I understand why people love it, and it's amazing because football brings everybody together, literally. Like, I've heard conversations where people have become friends over football, and I think that it's a conversation that we have. We have to have Colin Kaepernick started the conversation. He started the movement, but we have to move to and not to disregard what he's doing, but he gave up a lot for us, and we can't just continue sitting. He stopped so that we could move forward and do something better. So we cannot depend on him to do everything. And even some people had issues with him when he wanted to get back into the league, and he was doing that the practice with the teams, and then they had that whole craziness that was going on. And people were upset at him for doing what he loved. But his purpose, he didn't do what he did to stop playing. His protest wasn't against him playing in the NFL. His protest was something that we need to care more about because, to be honest, it affects us more than it affects him. It affects him on a grander scale, but it affects the regular people that are not rich and wealthy and all the other things. It affects those people, us, way more than it affects him, and he gave up a lot. You know, like, the first thing I thought about when I watched the Super Bowl is Colin Kaepernick, if he wouldn't have gotten traded, he would have been at the Super Bowl on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So he gave up a lot for us to be able to do something. And we are not doing anything but getting mad at the people that are not doing what we want them to do. Like, we wanted him to continue protesting and not try to get back in the league. But that's what he loves, so he has a right to do that. So we need to have a conversation and begin to think about what we need to do next, because I don't think that – people, you know, kind of know what to do next. So that's where we're going with it. That's how we're starting it off.
All right. I mean, it makes total sense. Like, you know, for me, it's like when seeing Colin Kaepernick trying, you know, wanting to do tryouts and wanting to do, you know, continue his career, it's because, like you said, it's what he loved to do. He didn't set out with, you know, trying to voice how, like, his concerns and how he felt, you know, because he didn't want to play the sport anymore. And, you know, a lot of times people, you know, don't know how to kind of separate the personal from the business.
Right.
And, you know, for me, it's like I understand exactly what people, like, how people felt. And everybody is entitled to their own opinion. You know, it shouldn't be like, oh, you have to be this way or that way. But a lot of times it's very extreme, you know, when people feel a certain way about certain things. And it's like everybody takes from the sport, takes from, you know, the camaraderie, something different. So it's like the only thing that we can do is support one another and understand that, you know, everybody may be getting something different out of, you know, their experience, but we have to respect each other and understand that regardless of, you know, everybody else's experience, everybody's taking something different from it. And, you know, we can't judge people who want to continue to watch the Super Bowl, want to continue, you know, to support the cause, because honestly, the person that was doing the protesting is still wanting to do the sport. So what is that saying about, you know, the process? And people don't fully understand exactly what he was trying to do. It's obvious because they're saying, let's boycott the whole sport. And he's saying, that's not what I meant to do. Like, it was meant for us to, you know, come to a realization that, you know, these things are still going on within the world. And, you know, this specific song and this, you know, specific tradition, it's not against football that he was protesting. It was against police brutality. It was against, you know, and it was misinterpreted. So that's why it's like, because he did what he did in regards to the sport, now let's boycott the sport, but it had nothing to do with the sport at all. And it's obvious that people are still not fully understanding exactly what he was trying to say because they're not listening to him. They're just assuming, and they're not, you know, hearing exactly what he's saying. And if you listen to what he's saying exactly what people really need to pay attention and to hear, instead of assuming and running with the story and thinking and interpreting, you know, what he's saying. And he's telling you outright what he's trying to do and what he's trying to say.
Yeah. But it's like people got mad when he settled the case with the NFL because he wanted to play and he couldn't play while he had an outstanding lawsuit against the NFL. He couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to settle.
Mm-hmm.
And people were upset at him. People were upset at him for accepting money. And it's like, if he didn't take the money, you would think he's crazy. If he takes the money, he's a sellout. But he's still doing more than everybody else. People got a problem with Jay-Z, but like Charlamagne said on the radio, if you have a problem with what Jay-Z and Roc Nation are doing, what are you doing? How about you do something better? Since you don't think that Roc Nation and Jay-Z did a good job, how about you do something better? Like, they literally...
But it's nobody's business.
People mind everybody else's business
but theirs.
But people are having an issue with it because they feel like Jay-Z is in it for a check. First of all, I doubt Jay-Z needs to do anything for a check because he's a billionaire. He doesn't need to do something like this. He doesn't need to put forth an effort just for a check. People had an issue with the commercials that they were putting out. Like, they had a lot of commercials that were talking about making the community better. People had an issue with that.
But
if you don't do anything, you have an issue. If you do something, you have an issue. What is the problem?
But here's what it boils down to. People just want to be upset. The camaraderie amongst a lot of individuals is you're bonding on being upset. You're bonding on,
right,
on remaining in this, you know, this headspace or this situation where you can complain. People love to complain.
Right.
And you give them a resolution and they just still love to complain. They love to wallow in this misery. And it's like,
and I don't understand.
You've been given, but that's just the way people are. If you notice, like, even in amongst your job, amongst your peers, I hate this job, but you still stay there, even though you have a chance to get out or you have something else to do.
Right.
But you're like, I'm gonna stay here. You know, there's people that go to specific nail salons or hair salons, and they complain every time they go. And it's like, why do you keep going? There's plenty of things out there. If this is not for you, why do you keep doing this? It doesn't make any sense, but people just love to complain. That's just the name of the game.
But it's unfortunate because people are suffering because of the nature of human beings. People are nobody's doing anything. All we're doing is complaining about each other, separating ourselves from each other. And when people are put in the forefront, everybody in the community decides they want to tear them down. Even, I'm telling you, Gabrielle Union, oh my God. Oh, she, is the number one advocate for everything having to do with equality within the Black community. One of the most active people. She posted something about an Uber driver taking a dump in her bathroom. And because Uber responded and said that was not something that should be done, the entire community wanted to cancel her. And I'm like, seriously? First of all, she was making a joke about it. She wasn't serious. And there was an uproar, and it was the concept of the cancel culture thing. But still, like, she does more than the majority of people in the community. And because she said something, everybody wanted to cancel her. And I'm like, that's the most ridiculous. She just got removed from the show that she was on. Because she spoke out against discrimination. And it's like, really? Really?
You know, one of the things that I noticed, because I come from the generation that I come from, what I'm noticing is, as phenomenal as artificial intelligence is, as phenomenal as this rise of the machines is, it also has brought us situations, because a lot of the things that you are experiencing and looking at on Facebook It's not black people doing it.
That's true,
it's
too.
It's other people doing it. It's and what they're doing is attempting to create an atmosphere that black folk will fight amongst themselves, talking about what black folk did. Like with the young sister who was the gymnast and they made comments about her hair. And it was like they were trying to make it seem like black folk were saying it. I don't think black folk were posting those messages. I think that those who wish to denigrate us, to insult us, to keep us apart, to keep us fighting, I think that what is happening now with the different countries that are getting involved through the computer, they are now creating a situation that goes beyond. What I'm appreciating is what's fact. I saw the president of the United States the night of the Super Bowl when they were playing the Star Spangled Banner. He was directing the television, like he was directing, like I think it was Demi Lovato. He was like a conductor of an orchestra while the Star Spangled Banner is being played. I saw it. Somebody taped him.
Wow.
He's also talking to people during the Star Spangled Banner. He doesn't have his hand on his heart. Now, I'm not saying you should or should not. That's not my point. My point is that when Colin Kaepernick, out of the respect of his fellow human beings, believes that black folk are being targeted by the police, and to draw attention to that fact, he is going to take a knee. But he is still going to observe with integrity the respect of how you conduct yourself during the Star Spangled Banner. What I saw the president do the other day when the Star Spangled Banner was there, everybody was standing. Even Melania had her hand on her heart. Donald Trump was directing. He was watching the TV and directing the song like he was the conductor. Google it. You'll see it yourself. And so...
That's crazy.
But that's the point. They've always been mentally disturbed. And what we have to do is something that I, even with y'all and with everyone in my family that I come in contact with when it comes to education... The one thing that I try to get young people to do in my classrooms and young people in general is to be able to find the main idea. Because when you find the main idea of a paragraph, a book, whatever it may be, when you find a that's good note-taking. That means that you have been able to find the most important thing. Everybody's talking about this so-called impeachment. But Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate, he already told you what he was going to do. He told you over the air, visually. He said, this is a political process. This ain't got nothing to do with right and wrong. Even Lamar Alexander, the senator, said, he's guilty. You proved your case. I don't need any more evidence. He's guilty. He did what he was supposed to do. But this is a political decision. This isn't a moral decision. Them old people ain't worried about morality. They're worried about power.
Of course.
And so we're missing,
like we're missing
the point. We're missing the point. And when we're watching Colin Kaepernick, we're missing the point. And we have to have an analysis. And if we knew how to find the main idea, we would already know that. Jay-Z already said he spoke to Colin Kaepernick. Jay-Z already said, well, once you get on your knee, what do you do next? You're going to stay on your knee?
Exactly.
You have to start doing something. You have to start doing something. And we as a people have to stop. But there is a deep-seated emotional stream that a lot of folk, they don't want to solve the problem. They just, like you said, mm-hmm. Dr. Kate, they wallow. They wallow in the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
They wallow in it. And what we don't realize is that the longer you stay in that pit, the harder it is to get out, because you begin to enjoy being there. Even though you're not happy, you're happy that you're unhappy.
Mm.
And we better wake up. And we better wake up quick, because the United States of America, as the country that was hoping to become, we are now in the midst of a cold civil war.
Mm.
Just like we were in a cold war with Russia, where nobody's shooting, nobody was really doing certain things. We're in a cold civil war right now. And the same forces that came to be in the 50s and 60s, all those Democrats, those racist, fragile, white Democrats in the 60s, before they would embrace the Democratic Party with the civil rights movement, the immigration movement, they all became Republicans. And now we have a Republican Party that is on its last leg. Rigor mortis has set in this body. It's dead. White supremacy, white fragility is dead. But we have to do something. And we have to move away from being so hoodwinked, bamboozled by the computer to take in what they're saying to us. And believe that this is black folk doing it. You know, this whole thing about the Popeye chicken sandwich, that was all staged.
Oh, goodness.
Wasn't no black people really doing that. They paid them black people to do things like that. Wasn't no black, you know, black people have their challenges, but they're not that stupid. They don't go around fighting over no chicken sandwich.
That is so stupid.
That was all staged.
The chicken sandwich wasn't even that good.
It wasn't. And that's why they had to do what they did to get it marketed so that people would buy it. And it was a genius marketing thing. It was
that
mind
right there.
Did you see what they did now? Now they have the employees dressing and acting like Beyonce's Ivy Park with Adidas and wearing the colors, because it's the same colors as Popeye's. So they have them dressing like Beyonce.
Okay. No, but I can understand Sasha. You know, that's all the marketing. This is where we are. You know, when I look at the commercials on TV, and I'm looking particularly at insurance companies, how ridiculous they act. You know, I mean, I laugh. They're funny. But do you think I think there are many funny commercials, but do you think because you make me laugh, I'm going out to buy your insurance simply because you made me laugh?
Well, that's the thing.
Some people
that goes to show where we are as a thinking society.
But there are people who do that. Like there's these
sheeple.
Commercials, like these ridiculous sheeple. Commercials, and you're like, why is this going on? And then you see the stock go up in the specific company. I mean, look at even whatchamacallit? What's that? The Tesla. Look at what happened as soon as they had that faux pas where he said, "Oh, this is bulletproof," and then he threw like a little rock at it and it shattered completely. And then he said, "Okay, hold on. Let me try it again. I think I threw it too hard," and it shattered even more. And it's like, come on, a rock is gonna shatter it, but it's supposed to be bulletproof. The stocks skyrocketed after that. I think they're at like $700 per stock. And it started out before probably like maybe $100-$200.
Wow.
It's crazy, but this is what people sell their soul. This is why people act so stupid. It's about marketing, it's about money. And at the end of the day they're like, I don't care as long as I get paid. And people will do the stupidest things that they could you could never put a price tag on your integrity, on your morals, on your ethics. But people aren't understanding that. They're willing
people
to sell
are doing
their
that
soul.
Nowadays.
Exactly. And I'm like, people talk so bad about people who are strippers, just for example. And it's like you're doing the same thing. You're selling your body.
Yeah.
You're selling your soul. You're selling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you can't get mad at the people that do that. And then at the same breath, you talk about them. In the same breath, you're willing to do whatever it is to get to where you are. You can't do that. You can't talk about people. We have to realize that we're not a gimmick. We don't have to be these ghetto hooligans. We don't have to, you know, act a fool. We don't have to do certain things in order to just make a dollar, because what happens at the end of the day when that dollar goes away?
But you know what?
It's crazy.
You know what? But you know what? To be honest, like we aren't. And I think the one thing that we have to get into our mind, and Daddy always talks about the 3 out of 100, majority of people are sheeple. Majority of people have no opinions. The majority of people will see something like that stupid cereal bowl mouth thing. Now, TikTok has this thing where you put cereal and milk in your mouth and somebody else eats it out of your mouth with a spoon. I would die. I don't even like being close to people on a train. So I would die if, like, but people are doing it. It has gone crazy. When they had the Tide Pods challenge and people were and stupid ass kids were eating Tide Pods. Like, these things are, people are actually doing it for fame and for clout, and it's, you say that, but the majority of people are, but we're not. And I think that that's one of the things that the people that are not need to get in their minds, that we're not. But there are a lot of people that are like that and don't care. And you know, me and you may have some sort of moral standard and that thing, but the people that we come in contact with, like, there's a lot of people that just have no type of morals, standards. They will sell their souls. Like, if you look at these people on Instagram now, the people that have the least amount of clothes have the most amount of followers. And that's really sad. Like that, like even something that happened over the weekend with that guy Gervonta Davis. Did you guys see that video? I don't know if you saw that, but Candace, did you see that where he yoked up his baby mama in that place? Okay.
Wait, what?
So Gervonta Davis. I didn't even know who he was. I didn't realize what he did for a living. I knew him because he always had issues with a girl named Ari, and I didn't even realize who Ari was, but she was on social media, and they would go back and forth. But Gervonta Davis apparently has a child with somebody, and I don't know what the whole story was, but it basically, like, it was a crowd full of people. I don't know what kind of performance they were. I don't know where they were, but basically, all you saw was him, and he yoked her up. He grabbed her by her shirt and ripped her out of her chair and shoved her out of wherever they were. He's not going to lose his job. He's not going to lose followers. He's not going to lose anything. Nothing is going to happen to him because people were in an uproar in the moment. He turned off his comments. Next week, it's going to be something else that people are talking about. Nobody cares past the moment. So there's so many, like, issues. And we don't, and those of us who do have morals and standards, it's like, what is wrong with these people? Like, how could you not care? I've cared about Colin Kaepernick since I found out about it. I don't understand how people can care about something for 5 minutes and then not care anymore. Things that mean something, I care about it yesterday, today. It doesn't go away. But for a lot of us, all we do is care about it while it's hot. We don't care about it the week after it's not hot anymore. When it's lukewarm, we don't care about it.
It goes back to critical analysis, which is really not taught in school. The critical analysis. And what we're experiencing in this society, and what's so very important to understand, is that this is not the first time this has happened. When you study anthropology and archaeology, you study the 6 forms of the human family, of which we are the last Homo sapiens sapiens. But when you study the Australopithecus robustus and Australopithecus gracile, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Homo sapiens sapiens. I'm listing the 6 so that folk will understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they existed for millions of years at a time. much longer than we've existed, they exist. And what happened is that over time, it's not the strongest that survive. It's not the survival of the fittest. The ones that survive to the next level are always the one that could adapt to new ways, new times. Because the earth is constantly changing. And I say this because when I talk about 3 out of 100, that's about the percentage of every one of these. When Australopithecus robustus grew to a certain level, they began to implement things that was new to them. The ones that could adapt to the new way became the Australopithecus gracilis. And all the others died out. This Australopithecus gracile that started at 3%, let's just give it that number now since we're playing with it. They all developed themselves to higher levels. They did things that were new. The ones that could adapt went on, and they became the Homo habilis. All the others that could not adapt died out. I could tell that story from Homo habilis to Homo erectus, Homo erectus to Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens or Homo sapiens sapiens, and now we, the human family, in Homo sapiens sapien form, are being threatened by a group that have mutated from the original peoples of the Homo sapiens sapiens and have threatened the earth. And if we don't change our ways and return back to nature, because when all is said and done, nature gonna win. Nature will always win. Human beings are but a blip. Human beings are but a blip as it relates to earthly evolution. The earth has been around now for over 3.5 billion years. The human being in the form that we know him right now has been around 500,000 years. Now, here's my question. Children understand this. When you talk about how long we've been around compared to how long the earth has been around, here's my question. Would you like $500,000 or would you like $3.5 billion? Now you understand the difference between $500,000 and $3.5 billion.
That's a big difference.
But the fact that there is a huge difference that the earth has been around so much longer than us, and the earth got along without us. And the earth can get along without us. In fact, the earth can get along better without us polluting it.
True. That's true.
And we have allowed a people to rise up to destroy the earth. Because they don't know better. And we're letting them get away with it. And we need some critical thinking. Better stop fighting amongst yourself. That's ridiculous. What's wrong with you? Fighting amongst yourself like that. Talking stupidity. Are you going to do that? We got to wake up. We have the ability to turn all this around, family. We have the ability to turn it around.
But it's crazy because bad behavior gets rewarded nowadays. And it's like, why get an education? Why spend thousands of dollars, be in debt thousands of dollars if you take out a student loan to make not even a quarter of how much people make on Instagram at the age of 15, 16 sometimes? You know,
15,
it's like
15. How about that kid on YouTube that was like 5 or however old he was and made like $11 million?
But what is that originally? But what is it encouraging children to do?
It's encouraging people to bad behavior gets rewarded better than good behavior. Why would I spend all this time and effort getting an education if those that don't even get an education that are they're just a gimmick? And social media and, you know, 5 seconds of fame, and then you see the come up of some of these artists, like, you know, Cardi B is talented, but you know, the others that are similar and trying to do what she's trying to do, but having a gimmick of, you know, downgrading yourself and not really fully committing yourself to something that you believe in, because why would anybody follow anything with morals? Why would anybody follow me if I actually spoke? Why not just sit here and look pretty? And it's like, people are seeing this and they're saying, why go down this aisle when I could just go down this aisle and make that much more money?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more that goes into it. It's not always about money.
And let me ask you this. When you speak about Cardi B, has her son eclipsed now? Did you see the Grammys
not
the
really.
Other night? But
I mean,
you
she's
don't
not,
see her the way you saw her before.
Yeah, she's because
cool,
she's
B?
Grown up now.
Yeah, yes. Her time has come and gone. See, this is what they do. They don't let anybody stay long. So you've got Billie Eilish, who won all the awards. There's a purpose for that. They'll let her rise, and then she'll fall. All of them are like that.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous for her rise. There's so many things that people don't fully see. Like, I was reading her story and just hearing that, I'm nervous for her to get to the top because people are so horrible at the top. They're so
and she's
horrible
very damaged.
Yes,
but that's what
she's
they want.
At 16, they're trying to get this population out. At 16, I believe she said that she was trying to commit suicide. And, you know, there's a lot of things that she deals with internally that it's very hard for anybody because you can't have morals and ethics. And it's not even just at the top of the music industry. It's at the top of every organization that is out there. Trust me, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the clowns that are up there.
And that's why there's a bunch
of clowns in charge.
This will only survive for a certain amount of time. This will only survive for a certain amount of time. And this will rise and this will fall. People will make money as they will. They'll push her. They'll make money. And then when they don't need her anymore, they'll discard her.
And she's still a human being. She's still a human being.
But remember, the Indo-European world objectifies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the human value. They don't see the group value. They see the material value.
The instant
and what drives this civilization is what can you do for me, material.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about how good you are. It ain't about being good. They will take someone like Billie Eilish, who has mental issues, and will just drag her through a process. I believe that she is an artist.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not looking at her as an artist. They're looking at her as an object that can make money for them.
Mm-hmm. That's so bad.
And,
that's so
and you have to make a choice. But that's a choice that you have to make somewhere. And that
but
has to come
like
from when...
She's not even old enough to consent to make these decisions. So
no,
why
but she's old enough
even...
to make money.
That's crazy.
She's old enough to make money for them. And, you know, what I try to tell people is look at the government now. Look at... They are liars. They are cheaters. They are stealers. And they will openly tell you he's guilty. But we're not going to charge him. He's guilty.
Mm.
He did what he did what you said. But we're not going to charge him. Why? Because that would get in the way of our materialistic view. We'll sell our souls. We'll sell our mother and our children's souls. What they're doing right now, is they are creating a hell on earth for the great-great-grandchildren that they may never know.
Wow. What's that called, Dennis?
But that.
What is that?
When you want to be better than your father, but you don't want your kids to be better than you.
The Cronus complex.
Yes.
And the Cronus complex says that I will do better than my parents, and I'll make sure my children can't do better than me.
Wow,
that's crazy.
What they're setting up when you go against the written law of the Constitution. See, this is what folk ain't looking at. Because when I was teaching social studies, I taught the Constitution to sixth graders. I went to a special class. They came out with a book. It was titled The Constitution Works. And they gave opportunities for teachers and directors of programs, like myself, who was director of social studies, to go through a very serious year-long staff development on how do you teach this in the classroom? How do you teach the Constitution in the classroom? And when I used to go to Rikers Island, I used to teach the Constitution to the brothers that were incarcerated, to the point where they confiscated my textbook.
Oh, my God.
Because they said that the students were quoting the Constitution when some of the correction officers would come in and try to do something to them.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
Because they used the Constitution. And, you know, you can't argue with the Constitution because it's right there in the law. And so what you see happening now is the last leg that they're standing on. The elderly European males who are in America are dying out. They know that when they, you know, like I said last week, I think we did it, I think we talked about it last week or the week or the class before, where I told you that as somebody that came out of, who was in high school, college during the Nixon impeachment, I was a teacher, administrator with the Clinton impeachment, and now I'm looking at this impeachment. When you look at the old clip of the Nixon impeachment, you see nothing but old white men in Congress. Adam Clayton Powell might have been there. There may have been two others, but you never saw them. When you got to the Senate, you ain't seen no black people. Maybe, I'm not sure if Edward Brooke of Massachusetts was still there. He was a black man. I don't know if he was still in the Senate, but it was number old white men. When you looked at the Clinton, you had more black folk in Congress, House of Representatives, but you didn't have nobody in the Senate, or not that many in the Senate. I think you had, there was a sister from Chicago. Mm. But when you look at this one, what you're looking at, first of all, you're seeing Muslims, you're seeing black women, you are seeing black men, you are seeing Hispanic men, Hispanic women, Asians. These old white men know their time in America is up. So they are willing to sell their soul to the devil in order for them to be safe. But what they're creating for future generations of white children who will still, years after they're dead, they are creating a backlash that's going to come on them. That is going to be shocking.
Cutting off their nose to spite their face.
They don't care. They're throwing out the baby with the bathtub. Forget the bath water, the bathtub. They're throwing them out. And this is just the way it is, family. And we better wake up. We better wake up and look at our experiences and look at where we need to go, and we need to get ourselves together. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Get your nose up out of everybody else's business and put your nose
in
yours.
Period.
Use Facebook for positive. Use Instagram for positive.
Mm-hmm.
Promise yourself you ain't going to do no negativity.
Exactly.
Post positive things up. I'm not saying don't realize that times are tough and things are wrong and things are happening. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying put yourself in harm's way. I'm not saying be foolish. What I am saying is have a strategy for liberation and emancipation.
I think that we need to take a break because that is something that anybody that's listening right now realizes that because a lot of us are not willing to do that because most people repost. Oh, I don't repost negative videos. I try to have my social media be as positive as possible and as informative, motivational, and I post positive things and good things that I hear. But a lot of people, they call themselves motivational. They call themselves, you know, pro-black or whatever they want to call it, but they're continuously putting things into our mind that make us feel bad about ourselves. When we repost videos of violence, it's important to know that this is going on, but when you repost it, that's all that's in your head. How can you possibly move forward if you're not willing, if all you know is negativity? So I think that we're going to take a break now, and people really have to think about who they want to be and what they want to represent and who they want to represent and who they're trying to influence. So this is interesting. The song is called Salary Cap, and it's spelled K-A-E-P, and it's by Wale, and it is reality and also a dedication to the movement that Colin Kaepernick started and that the rest of us are supposed to continue. So we'll be right back.
I mean, people are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody. It's something that's not happening. And I've seen videos. I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land.
Run that track, run that back. Soldier with military raps on deck. Whole another level, white boy trying to kill me. Whole lot of melanin, black don't crack. And I'm in my bag, in my bag. I'm unapologetically forever pro-black. No Nazi gonna stop this bag. Infrared beam or Confederate flag. I ain't with the rhetoric the president be on. Forever with my niggas in the level that we on. Count a million figures trying to put them for the city. Put a bullet in a nigga, call me nigga and he wrong. Look, you a coward, nigga, eat a dick. Shout out League of Rock and eating shit. MMG, this is the DMV. Free trail flock, eat a rest. Khaled, nigga, we the best. Crocodile, we need to speak of shit. Rap a piece about that CTE and give Kaepernick a new team of chat. Right now, cause shit getting deep for us right now. They killing our C's boy right now. So we gon' take a knee before we pipe down. Chalk D, we gon' fight high. Chuck a deuce if he choosing, he not down. I just had a baby girl and I'm so proud. That she's so smart and she's so brown. I'ma hold mine down, what are you about? West side, I'ma ride doing suicide. West side, I'ma ride playing old pop. I sports talk, over 7 on the tray, watch. I'ma sit courtside. With a bra, with a clear like Fortnite. With a bra, with the shit that she go to. And she hates fake hoes with the bantu, nah. Stop. Black is never going out of style. Look at Melo, Sniper, and LeBron. And then LaMelo, then they get to Zion. I ain't even lying, not a people person. But I do be having color people pride. What you need some vibes, need to see the vibe. Nigga, me and my people need to rise up and see that I. People be deprived, unless you well endowed or you being white. You're a bad demon, green and white. Wallet it open, bitch, I see it twice. Get it, Run that back, run that back. Soldier with military raps on deck. Whole never level white boy trying to kill me. Whole lot of melanin, black don't crack. And I'm in my bag, in my bag. I'm unapologetically forever pro black. No Nazi gonna stop my back. Spread a whole magazine on a rare mega hat like.
All right, so if anybody didn't know, before the music started, that was Colin Kaepernick talking. So, like, one of the most profound things, and me working in Midtown where I work, one of the most profound things that he said was when he talked about there are people that fight for this country and come back, and they have no support from the country that they fought for. There's people that die by the hands of the country that they fought for, and nobody cares. When I hear people say, can you spare change for a homeless veteran, I am disgusted. And it's at times like that where I really understand why Colin Kaepernick did what he did. In addition to the police brutality concept, not concept, but the reality of police brutality. In addition to that, is also the idea that patriarchy, patriotism, is not about actually loving your country. Patriotism is a patriarchy. It is about you love your country when it benefits you. Like, if somebody comes back and they're a war hero and they're doing well and they're not mentally unstable, you love that they're a veteran. But when they come back and they're mentally unstable, or when they come back and it's a black person, or when they come back and it's a woman, or when they come back and they're gay or lesbian or transgender, then this country has an issue with it. People only appreciate patriotism when it looks like them, and usually it looks like a straight white Christian man. And that is and that's one of the reasons why he did what he did, because he did it for more than one reason. The primary focus was police brutality, but in the clip that he did, he spoke about the hypocrisy of the people that are supposed to be like you're not supposed to disrespect the flag, but one of the issues is laying the flag flat, which every time there's a football game, they lay the flag flat. You're not supposed to wear the American flag, but Tommy Lauren, who loves talking crap about people, Tommy Lauren loves wearing the American flag. That is more disrespectful than Colin Kaepernick taking a knee while the Star-Spangled Banner. That is more disrespectful to America to lay the flag flat or to wear it. That's more disrespectful than the way that he chose to express his feelings of unsatisfactory feelings towards the way that America treats some of its citizens. And it is really unfortunate that we really don't even realize that the people that are the most disrespectful to the people that they are pretending to love are the people that are the ones that are doing a lot of the negative things that go on in the world. And I said the people that are citizens, but there are people in this country that are still human. And in a little while, we can, you know, shift gears, and I would like to talk about the halftime show, which was controversial for so many different reasons. So does anybody else want to say anything else after that song?
Well, I just want to talk about the word patriotism. The root word, the meaning of the word, coming up out of the Indo-European experience. And it's important to understand, patriotism means the love of the fatherland reflected by the white male.
Is that what patriotism is?
I'm giving you a conceptual framework. Patri means father. Patri means father.
Yeah.
There is a prayer that I used to sing when I was in church, and it was called the Pater Noster, our father. Pater Noster. Pater Patri, just like the original tradition of getting married is a feminine function.
I was just going to ask you about that.
It's a focus on the woman. That's why it's called matrimony. Matri, matre, madre, coming up out of the experience. So what becomes important is to realize what it is that we're facing here and to analyze and to come with critical analysis to what it is that we're experiencing and what it is that we're doing as a people and what other people have a right to do, which I think leads us now to the halftime show. What other people have a right to do.
So, when it comes to what other people have a right to do and don't have a right to do, I know that what I'm about to say is going to make a lot of people upset. Possibly what I'm going to say, I'm going to explain what happened first, and then let me interrupt you for just one moment. Okay.
Sasha.
Okay.
Because what you're about to say shouldn't upset anybody.
But if
it does upset somebody, then the person that is emotionally charged by what you're about to say, you have to look deep inside yourself. You have to look deep inside yourself and really wonder about your analysis of the situation that we're about to talk about. Nobody should get upset with what you're about to say. But I understand that there might be. So go ahead. I'm done. I just wanted to say that. Because I don't think anybody should be upset with what you're going to say. But they will be. And those that are, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
But I didn't realize how upset they were going to be until I listened to the Breakfast Club the next day. Because when, you know, when I get up at 6 o'clock or 5 or whenever I get, when I get up or around that time, it's people calling in to, you know, tell them why you're mad. Because I listen to the Breakfast Club in the morning while I'm getting ready, and the segment is tell them why you're mad. And the majority of people that called in were having a discussion about what I'm about to say. So this was the first year that Roc Nation and Jay-Z produced the Super Bowl along the Super Bowl halftime show along with the NFL. And the two performers were J-Lo Lopez, who is Puerto Rican, and Shakira, who I think is Middle Eastern and Colombian, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that is her background, but she's still, you know, is part of the community, the Spanish speaking community, considers herself. She's a Colombian singer, but I think because they were talking about something that she did that's now like the biggest meme ever that had to do with her Middle Eastern roots. So I think she has something in her that's also Middle Eastern, but she's primarily Colombian. So it was the two of them. It was a very, very heavily Spanish-speaking people from different areas.
Yeah, because you also had Bad Bunny
performance. Yeah, that's
you had,
what
like
I'm saying.
Bad Bunny.
What,
you had
it was Bad
I forgot
Bunny
his
and
name.
J Balvin. J Balvin.
Mm-hmm.
It was J Balvin and Bad Bunny. But it was them. But what they ended up doing, they brought out Bad Bunny and J Balvin, who are, and when I was talking about in the Breakfast Club the next day, there was a guy that he has a position there, and he's Puerto Rican. He was very offended because everybody was so upset with him. And, I mean, they were making him upset, rather. And they're saying that Shakira and Jennifer Lopez are of an older generation. They've been out forever, and they were introducing the world that didn't know about J Balvin and Bad Bunny, because I know about them because of, like, Drake did a song, I think, with Bad Bunny. Beyonce did a song, I think it was Bad Bunny and J Balvin. Like, I know of these
Cardi
people
B,
because of the English speaking. Cardi B did, and I know them because of the English speaking people that do music with them. But I didn't know who, I don't know who they were. I could fall over them in the street and not know who they are, but they're important to the Spanish-speaking community. And so this performance, like Jennifer Lopez had on the American, one side was the American flag and one side was the Puerto Rican flag, because she's Puerto Rican and Puerto Rican. They even when the hurricane happened in Puerto Rico and the president was throwing paper towels like it was a basketball, this is America. That's America. If you feel so strongly about America, why would you do? But they don't consider them to be Puerto Rican. I mean, to be American. So, and something else that I didn't notice, when Jennifer Lopez's daughter, which I thought that was the cutest thing ever, when Jennifer Lopez's daughter was singing, and there were kids in the background, I found out the next day that kids were actually in cages, which, you know, we all know where that comes from, when it was, you know, the at the border and the kids were in cages and all that. So, yeah, I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it until somebody pointed it out, and then I saw a picture. I wish we could share pictures on this thing.
Yeah, like, no, even if you don't realize, which it has to go through a lot of people in order for it to be able to be aired. Like, even if you did not mean anything by it, it's such a touchy subject, huh?
No, it was intentional. They put the kids in cages to represent what the children that were at the border were going through. So they did it on purpose as a statement. Like, that was intentional. They put the kids, the performers were in cages to represent the children that were in cages. So they wanted to put it on display. Like how Kendrick Lamar did a performance one time and everybody was in prison. Like, everybody was in little prisons and prison suits. Like, they did it as a statement when the daughter was singing. They did that on purpose. That was part of the performance. But I didn't realize it until the next day. I just sent the picture. So I wish we could show it on here, but but there's a picture going around. You can see, like, even if you want to watch the Grammy, even if you want to watch the halftime show again, you'll probably notice it more when you watch it the second time. But there were a lot, and the reason why I'm talking about this now too is because the next day when I was listening to the Breakfast Club, black people, and I'm talking about all of us, and I'm saying this, like, black people were offended that there were no black people on the stage. And I was so confused because it literally was Shakira and J-Lo. And people were literally calling and saying that they hated the performance because there were no black people. And that it was like that they should have brought.
There were black
dancers. Yes. Shakira had almost all black dancers. But they didn't bring out, like, Ja Rule. They didn't bring out performers. But the unfortunate thing is when Beyonce did the last halftime show, and it was focused on Malcolm X, the formation and the plight of the black community, nobody had an issue with that. And I am the first one that will understand that the reason why the majority of foreign or what's considered foreign, people that are considered immigrants, people that are considered coming from another country to hear, the reason why they're here is because of black Americans. And if you don't know that, you need to research it. The reason that, and Daddy, you probably can explain it a little bit better, but the civil rights movement allowed for everybody to be able to be here, excuse me, and live in a way, or on paper, live in a way that would make it comfortable. We know that it's because of black people. A lot of people don't know that. Probably Spanish people don't know that. All the people that benefited, all the people that walked through the door while black people were holding the door and then slammed the door in black people's faces. I get that. But that is not the way, any of us are going to move forward, because everybody that's discriminated against has a right to explain how they're feeling. And if all black people do, if all we're doing is complaining about everybody else, every time a considered minority group does something, if all we're doing is complaining about that group, we're never going to get anywhere. We are never going to move forward and do anything positive if all we're doing is focusing. If you're running a race and all you're doing is focus on what everybody else is doing, you are going to slow down. And that's what we've been doing. And that's what happened at the Super Bowl. Because when I heard people complaining, I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. Like, this is the stupidest thing ever. Because it's heartbreaking for me. Because the people that genuinely want to fight for the rights of the black people, the black people that really want to do something, every time we want to do something, people are going to roll their eyes. Because it's just going to seem like we're complaining about things. And it makes you not even want to do anything, because.
But again, we got to go back. And how much of this is staged? How much of
these
this
were
is
real people calling in, though?
Yeah, no, they could be real people, but their intentions could be nefarious. It could be. Look, there are people attack me.
Oh, we
there
know.
Are people attack your mother.
We know,
so,
and me.
So I understand. I understand how people can be like that. But the point is this. You got to go back to the word in terms of synecdoche. They don't represent everybody.
Yeah, I know.
But the way in which it's presented, it's like the black community felt like this.
Yeah. And that's how I
and
felt.
The thing is, but I see Puerto Ricans as black.
So do I.
I see Puerto Ricans. What you saw on that stage was nothing but a black performance, dance-wise.
I know.
When I watch Shakira from Colombia or from South America, that's deeply African. The drums, the dancing. When you saw J-Lo.
Always.
That was black. And when you saw the kids in cages, remember, who was in the first cages in America was not people from Central and South America. It was African people.
Right. And
so those children.
And Wall Street.
Exactly. And so when Africans, when the children were in the cages, it just wasn't what's happening in South and Central America. It's about what's happening to black people in general, and they're doing the same thing that Colin Kaepernick did, but in a different way. And in terms of how the immigration laws changed with the immigration law of 1966 came because of the passing of the civil rights laws of 1965. Mm-hmm. So that when the civil rights laws were broken down and corrected in 1965, it led to the immigration laws being broken down in 1966, which created the door to open for all of the people that you see coming to America today are coming through that struggle, through that fight. And I understand that, too. I understand that.
I agree.
But that doesn't mean that I cannot also appreciate another African diasporian performance that I saw during the Super Bowl game. I appreciate art and dance and image and message.
Mm-hmm.
And as African folk getting caught up in a lot of different things, we all have to look critically and ask ourselves, are they actually expressing what I feel? Or am I going to go along with it because I'm afraid that if I speak out, they're going to come at me? And what I've always said is I try to present from my perspective as close to my version of what I see happening.
Mm-hmm.
And my bottom line, first of all, is I enjoyed the performance. I enjoyed J-Lo's daughter. I enjoyed what I saw. And that's all I'm holding people accountable for. This was not an African-American program.
Performance.
Dance.
Right.
Performance.
Right.
It wasn't our time. When Beyonce had it and she did her thing, I enjoyed it. It was phenomenal.
Right.
And people complained, too.
Of course.
People won't complain anyway. The other thing I want to say about football is this. I don't boycott football. I don't watch it. I didn't need Colin Kaepernick. All I had to do was read the book that your brother Heru got called $40 Million Slave.
$40 Million Slave, yep.
Okay, that's all I needed to read to understand. But not just that. Football is an extremely dangerous and violent sport.
Absolutely.
And we have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Glorifying that type of violence.
But that money.
It's also creating a whole bunch of clients for Condé because it will make you go insane. You will need a social worker and psychiatrist.
Just watch that Aaron Hernandez story.
It goes even beyond that, though. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the Netflix special about Aaron Hernandez.
That's what I just said.
It goes beyond, you know, the sport itself. Like, we have to start thinking about ourselves, and it goes, it talks about, and it kind of makes you think about, what are people willing to do? Are they willing to give up their whole entire life? Because he was 23, I think, when he took his life. And it's like the stuff that you do now affects the future.
They don't care.
But people are willing
to
give up that stuff.
People don't care.
Oh, absolutely.
They just want that dollar.
Right. They want a dollar more than they want their life.
That's it.
That's so crazy. But that's just the reality. And, you know, we got to stop focusing on doing things for a dollar, because that means that you're putting a price tag on your life.
Oh, yeah.
And how much are you worth? How much do you feel like you're worth?
Yeah.
And if somebody offers you that dollar. Go ahead, Sasha.
No, I don't think that people care. Because people know about CTE. They know that they can be physically injured. I don't I don't think that they care. Like, I honestly don't believe. I feel like people are literally in the moment of things, and they're not in it for the, like, people don't look. There was a, people don't look at the long term. There was a video, there's a guy named Jay Shetty, I think he is. I think his name is. And it was an Instagram video, and the whole thing was focusing on not looking at the bigger picture. So the video was just showing, like, words, but it wasn't showing the whole word. It was like it cropped out the whole thing and just showed, like, a small part in the middle. And by the end of the video,
yeah,
they never panned out. And they never panned out to show you what was actually going on. And everybody was like, well, we want to see the word. We want to see the phrase. And other people were like, that's the point. The society that we live in now is not focused on the bigger picture. They're focused on the word. Like, they're like with Jay-Z, they were focused on that he was making money with the NFL. But they weren't focused on the bigger picture of what he said he was trying to do. And that's, we don't focus on the larger picture. We don't even, we don't even try to figure out what we would, you know that question when they say, if you could do it for free, what would you do? Nobody knows the answer to that question. For me, like, I love writing. I wrote a book. I put the book out. There's a lot of people that don't know about it. But I am still writing. I'm working on the second book. And the people that bought the first one buy, oh, yeah. If only the people that bought the first one buy the second one, I will be happy because I am, like, I will zone out to the world.
Because you're not doing it for the money.
I'm writing. I'm not doing
you're
it
not
for the money.
You're not doing it for
doing
the money.
Because I'm not doing it for the money. It would be nice if I could not have to do other things and make money specifically off of this. But then I would think that would take away from the love of it. I wrote, I become the characters in the book. I am able to live a different life through the art of writing. And there's a lot of people that are wasting all the talent that they have on trying to find things that make them money. I've tried to make money. I've made money off of things. I know that I can make a living off of certain things. Everybody's trying to make me do finance. I know that if I focus on that and made money on that, I would be able to quit my job. But that doesn't make me happy. I'd rather focus on the things that make me happy and make money another way. That's not what I love to do. If I love to do something and can do it for a living, that's great. But I'm not going to stop doing what I love because I want to make money. There's so many people that all they want to do is focus on making money, and their soul is incomplete. And, you know, there's somebody that I follow on Instagram.
That's not incomplete. They sold it.
Well, they sold it.
They sold their soul.
They don't have it anymore. They sold it. It's incomplete. But there's people. Yeah, but that's what it is. This person that I follow on Instagram, one of her sayings is that she wants to die empty. She doesn't want to come back to this world because she believes that if she doesn't complete what she's supposed to do on the earth now as the person that she is, she's going to keep coming back and coming back until she completes. So she wants to die empty, and she wants to be able to go on to the next stage of whatever it is that her soul and her spirit wants to do. And I think that that is so significant because so many people are so shallow now, and like you said, they sold their soul. They're not doing what they're intended to do because they just want to make money. And then you're full of your talent, and you're wasting it. And the person that I follow, her name is Aina Brion. It's A-I-N-A. And I don't know how to spell B-R-E-Y. You'll be able to find it, like B-R-E-Y-O-N, something like that. I think there's an I in there somewhere. But the things that she said, like, that's somebody that I think is of a great value to the Black community and to the spiritual world because we really have lost our connection to who we are inside. And we really think that the human shell that we live in is all that we are. And I really, every time we talk, Daddy, I always talk because your book really started to open my eyes to things that I did, like I felt it, but I didn't feel it the way that I was supposed to feel it. And reading the book really made me, and I haven't even finished it because it's so heavy that it is not, like I can devour a book in half of a day. Like literally when I was writing my book, I read my book at least once a day for about a month just editing it. And 254 real pages, like it's a real book, which everybody is surprised about. But I can devour a book, but that book, it's just like it changed the way I thought about everything. And I don't know if people get it. I don't think that people understand it.
Well, that's why I wrote the book, to put it in very simple terms, because I believe that all things center from that kernel seed within each of us. And that kernel, that seed that has to grow in us, is the realization that each and every one of us is the creator having a human experience.
Mm.
So that when your point of departure in your life becomes to nurture the nature within, that you are the creator. You are part of the creator, like a drop of water is to an ocean. It is only then that you then can respect and love other people. You can't respect and love other people if you don't respect and love yourself. You can't do that.
Mm.
It's another form of an emotion, but it is not the truest sense of mer, which is the Kushite word for love, that complete love.
And to even go further, you can't if you can't love yourself, you can't expect anybody else to be able to love you or treat you how you want to be treated.
Exactly.
Why would anybody love you if you don't love yourself?
But how could that be possible? But how could that be possible? How could someone love you if you didn't love yourself? You don't even know what love is because you don't love yourself. So how could you even interpret what other people? And you know what's interesting is that there are other people that could love you, but you'll never see it as love. Because you don't know what love is because you don't love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why a lot of people lose significant others, because they didn't know how to hold on to them, because they didn't know what love was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's very fundamental. But it goes back to taking the paralysis out of your analysis and being able to embrace yourself for who you are as a person and to be able to develop yourself. That's what you have to do.
Yep.
You have to look at the times that you're living in and just deal with the issues as they are. And get out of other people's business.
I don't even think people know how to do that, because
but if people get out of other people's business, then they'll be miserable because they're going to have to look at what's actually going on in their life.
Well, then that's like somebody who doesn't go to the doctor because they're afraid that they'll be told bad news.
Sure.
Okay, and then what happens? They die.
Oh, all right.
Whereas if you went to the doctor, like you should, doctor would be able to at least guide you to how you, a good doctor can, as to how you can get better.
Mm-hmm. We just have to realize a lot of these mind games and a lot of things that are put in front of us are put in front of us for a reason. And we got to separate that, and we got to stop being bamboozled, stop being tricked, stop being fed something, spoon-fed something for a reason. And it's like, you know, there's a method to everybody's madness. And don't think that it's done without knowledge, without, you know, a backstory. And just realize, focus on you, because if you focus on you, you won't focus on other people. We're so busy and focusing on everybody else. What are they wearing? Who are they hanging out with? What food are they eating? That we're not even able to eat our food. We're not able to live our lives. We're not fully able to understand who we are, because you get so caught up in somebody else's life. So then you get from them. And then you miss the whole true reason for your being and your essence. We're not meant to be like other people. We're not meant to look like everybody else. We're not meant to talk like everybody else. We're not meant to do what others are doing. And just because what the person that you admire is doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it. We just have to really stop all of the outside noise and really focus. And one of the exercises that I use with a lot of my my people is, think about this. What makes you happy? And as soon as I ask that question, it seems like an easy question to answer, but it's very, very hard for people to really understand what makes them happy. But if I ask them what makes you mad, they'll be able to rattle off a whole list of things that piss them off within the week and what they hate, their pet peeves. But to really, truly understand and comprehend and pinpoint what makes you happy, that's extremely hard for people to do. So think about, you know, for those people that are listening out there, think about what makes you happy and focus on that. Because like a lot of, you know, spirituality and everything, they discuss, you know, the power of suggestion, the power of thought. So if you think something, then it becomes you. Like people say, they call me this monster, and the monster is what I became. If you keep looking at the negative, nothing but negative is going to surround you. If you look at the positive, think about this. When somebody smiles, isn't it infectious? It makes you smile as well. It makes you, you know, it perks you up a little bit. If somebody comes in and you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? They say, I'm having an amazing day. This is what's happening. You know, I'm glad I spoke with you. You know, I hope you have an amazing day. That makes all the difference than if somebody comes and dumps everything on you. I'm having a horrible day. I woke up late for my alarm. I tripped. I fell. I broke my phone on the way to work. You know, just focus on the positive. Focus on everything and turn that negative into a positive. All right, you missed your alarm, you missed the bus. Guess what? You missed the bus for a reason, because that something could have happened while you were on that bus specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to take the positive, take the best, and leave the rest. Like a very smart scholar once told me.
I like that.
But once you start to think positive, a lot of people always ask me, they're like, how are you so happy? How are you able to, you know, even if something occurs, how are you able to get through it? And I say, I just think positive about it. You can find negative in everything, but can you find positive in everything? And it's like there's so many things, like you said, we're a little raindrop in a big ocean. You know, there's many things that you can find fault with, but are you able to come up with a positive? Are you able to, you know, come out of your experiences on a daily basis and just be happy for being able to breathe and being able to, you know, live to the next day and being able to live within your life and do exactly what you want to do and have control over it? Because there's a lot of individuals who are not able to. And there's a lot of people who fought, and they fought for us to be where we are. And sometimes we forget that and we take it for granted. If you're able to get an education, get an education, whether you use it or not. Whether if you're able to vote, vote. Whether the person that you vote for wins the election or not. Because it's just the exercise of being able to do these things that a lot of people before us were not granted with. And we take it for granted. We make up our lives. We do what we want to do. Don't let other people dictate for you your life. Appreciate your life. Do what you like. Respectfully decline their suggested, their unsolicited advice. That's what I call it a lot of times. Because you don't ask their opinion, but they decide to give it to you. Allow people to talk. Allow people to be who they are. And the second that you start doing it, I guarantee the happier that you'll be able to be. That's just my little bit of therapy. Therapy
no
coming
cat.
Out.
No cat. I see no lie.
No cat. No cat. But, I mean, it's just the truth. Try it and see. Prove me wrong. Take a second and just be yourself. Be who you want to be.
Well, wow, I have to say, you two ladies are very intelligent. My hat's off to your parents. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Right. Right. They
did a good job on you.
Yes, they did.
They
got
to pat themselves on the back.
Wow.
I don't know where we would be without them.
My goodness gracious. Y'all just be dropping them gems. My goodness.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Okay. But that's, you know, but what we're talking about a number of different things, but it all still centers around the Super Bowl, Colin Kaepernick, the halftime show. Everything that we're talking about still centers around those concepts. And we as a community, whether you like what we say, whether we agree with what each of us says, has nothing to do with what's most important, and that is that everybody has a right to have their own opinion. Everybody has a right to express their own opinion without fear of attack. And it becomes important that we all understand this. We all have different histories. We all have grown up in our own way. I mean, I grew up in a community of Spanish-speaking people. And English-speaking people and French or people from Haiti. I grew up with people from the Caribbean. And so my exposure to my friends, to their families, what I saw in a halftime show, I saw in living rooms when I was a young man. And there were times I jumped up and did my little salsa or bachata or merengue myself.
Oh my God.
Okay, I was there. And I also ate arroz con pollo, rice and peas, and habichuelas, and Haitian chicken. Okay, that's how I grew up. And many of us have, but I grew up with communities that didn't feel this way towards each other. I grew up in respect and integrity and ethics and honor, and they respected my family. They being people of other cultures, African, diasporian, but they respected. We didn't fight each other like we fight now. You see, the closer you get to the Creator, the closer the devil will get to you. And when they're seeing all of this cross culture, if you're dealing with reggaeton.
I repeat you.
Okay. All of this is coming out of an African experience. When you think of reggae and the impact that soul music and calypso music, soca, had on the island. The idea of revolution.
Even their religion.
All of it. It all combines itself. Obia, Santeria, Candomblé of Brazil, Vodun. Of the French speaker. This is all us. Why are we fighting each other?
Why
are we
divided,
fighting each other?
They win. Divided, they win. United,
we
conquer.
And I don't think
we analyze.
And we
are orchestrating our own demise. We are orchestrating our own demise.
The people who are supporting the President of the United States, the great majority of them hate him. They have no respect for him. But they know how to stick together.
That's true.
They know how to stick together. They know how to stick together with the devil. And at all costs, they will see the demise of the brown and the black world, although I don't know what brown means, because we're all dealing with shades of melanin. But be that as it may, we have not learned how to support each other and respect each other. We've allowed them to divide us and to conquer us. And what I am saying is, let's get busy. Let's smart.
And speaking about all of that, when we were, you know, when on Sunday when the Super Bowl was happening, Colin Kaepernick was not watching the Super Bowl. He was at the Schomburg Library in Harlem. He was handing out clothes and feeding homeless people. So that's what he chose to do. So everything that people are saying, all of the things that people are talking about, he was actually helping people that he did not have to help. And he chose to help them. And it's really hard to have anything negative to say about him, but people still do. So we just have to, like, I literally need to take what you say about the 3 out of 100 and just believe it. And if people think negative about me, oh, you're one of the 97. Okay, whatever. Like, because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And there's nothing that we can do about it. For everyone that loves
exactly.
you, there'll be someone that hates you. So.
Well, I
mm-hmm.
always put it at
but
85 to 15%.
But here's the thing. Understand where that hate comes from, because a lot of people don't understand the emotions. So their quote-unquote hate can be something else. It could be envy. It can be, not jealousy, but it could be, you're sad because you wish that you were that person that you envied. So the emotions
of it
may present as one thing, but that's not the reality of the situation. The reality is you wish that you could be as open and as, as free as the person that you may be looking at.
Of course.
So look at it like that.
Who are you to be who you want to be?
Exactly. But I love the quote, if you ain't got no haters, you're not popping. And, as ignorant as it may be, it just shows you that the reason that people, feel a certain way towards you is because you are succeeding in what you're trying to do. And just understand that and see it for what it is. And don't take offense when people have something to say. Just understand that means that you're doing exactly what you want to do and you're living your life the way that you want to do it. And a lot of people, they wish that they could do stuff like that. They wish they can be who they want to be instead of being forced into this pigeonhole or forced into a situation where they're just not happy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Take the best and leave the rest.
That's who.
There we go.
Like it's a very simple process. That's it. See, my thing is very simple in process, very difficult in implementation because it demands that you are able, to move beyond that concept. That you can, brush things off. It's not easy when people say things that are mean-spirited, that are not very nice. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to do is you have to understand where it's coming from. And what you said is so appropriate because you have to understand the point of departure of what it is that they feel towards you.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to whether it be jealousy or envy or whatever it might be. Because I tell people all the time, in the work that I do, I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking to allow me to make you think.
Mm.
And if you come down on me with a whole bunch of conversation, I've been successful.
Absolutely.
Because I made you think. I made you think. The fact that you're telling me all this stuff about me or about my work, it means that I've made you think, and therefore I've been successful. So thank
you.
And
they retained the information.
And let's move on because, I don't expect to be invited to your house for dinner, and I know I don't plan on inviting you to mine. So this association has had its place, but, we all have to grow away from wanting people to like us. It stopped us from telling folk the truth. I'm telling you how I feel.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you said that because I was watching this thing on Larry David and J.B. Smooth. And I love Larry David's show because what he does is he's able to speak exactly how he feels regardless of what people think. And he was on one of the late night shows and he was saying, I'll follow you around for a day and I'll tell everybody, exactly how you feel. That you're not willing to express your feelings because you're nervous about how you'll be received and it's very interesting because that's exactly what we do. We stop ourselves from being who we are, saying what we want to say, and we accept a lot of what people put onto us. And in reality, we got to start speaking up, and you could do it in a respectful way. It doesn't have to be disrespectful in your approach. But sometimes you gotta shut people down, because when you don't, you don't stand up for yourself. And again, you're teaching people how to treat you by the way in which what you are willing to accept and what you are not willing to accept, and how you're willing to be, you know, perceived.
And you know, John Mayer's songs, he's got two songs that I enjoy. I talk to you about it. One of them is Say. You know, say what you gotta say. You know, you might be the only one in the room. You might be all by yourself. You might be nervous. Say what you have to say. And the other one is Waiting for the World to Change.
Yeah. Be the change you want in this world.
Waiting for the world to change. Michael Jackson said it. You know, before I go out to change the world, I got to change the man or the woman in the mirror. That's it. That's it.
And with that, I think we got some of the songs. We got some of those quoted songs.
That's actually what I was about to play. Once we were ready to head out and hotep out, that's what I was going to play.
Hotep out.
All right. Well,
see you next time, fam.
Yes, next time. It was a great conversation. We got everything, except that I wanted to mention that Jay-Z and Beyonce sat down during the national anthem. I don't think I mentioned that. We don't have to talk about it, but that's just something to consider when we want to judge people. And now I'm going to play your song, Daddy.
Didn't take a knee, took a seat.
Right, exactly. Did not stand at all. All right. Hotep.
No cap, all karma.
No cap, all karma. That's going to be a new phrase. All right.
All right, Hotep.
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 We'll be right back.